morning, everybody. Well, I'm going to read my devotional for you this morning, and Easter has always been my favorite holiday on the Christian calendar, and it's by far my favorite Sunday to lead worship. I love picking the songs, weaving together themes of resurrection joy, power, and hope. I love the exuberant singing and the fuller-than-usual sanctuary. I love rejoicing with my brothers and sisters as we praise God for securing our eternal salvation through Christ's death and resurrection, taking on himself what we deserve, and defeating the power of sin and death on our behalf. Hallelujah! Amen! Devotional done! Just kidding, devotional not done. In my eager anticipation of Easter, I often fail to appreciate everything prior to this joyous day. When I learned that I would be writing the last devotional, I figured that the bulk of the passage would focus on the resurrection, and I could write all happy things and make everyone feel great. As it turns out, this is not the case. While I could always stand to state myself more in the awe and truth and joy of the resurrection, upon closer inspection, the rest of the passage had more to say to me than I anticipated. This passage raised some difficult questions, so let me share with you what the Lord stirred in me. Am I willing to be mocked? When I was young, maybe in second grade, I have a vivid memory of standing in line in my classroom talking to some of my classmates about what music we listened to. When my turn came, I shared that I listened to Christian music. I didn't expect anything to come from such a simple statement, but one boy started to make fun of me. That is my first memory of being mocked for my faith, for who I was. As I slowed down and read and reread about how Jesus was mocked, the words pierced my heart. Those mocking Jesus were merciless, striking at the very core of who he was, deriding his identity and his work and his ministry. They had just viciously scourged him, literally tearing his body to shreds, then gathered the whole battalion, according to my study Bible, around 600 men, to do the same to his identity. What did Jesus do as he was being berated and humiliated? Nothing. He took their insults, not letting them shake his identity or his resolve to carry out the Father's will. Then he died and rose from the dead, assuring us of our future life with him and giving us power to stand firm when we experience trials of many kinds in our lives here on earth. So when I am mocked, may my identity in Christ be unshaken, and my resolve to do his will be undeterred. Lord, you said that we would be hated by all for your name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Forgive me when I deny you and shrink back in fear. Help me to speak the truth and endure to the end, remembering what Jesus did for me and clinging to his strength. Amen. Do I need to see to believe? As Jesus hung on the cross, the chief priests and scribes suggested that if he would come down and save himself, then they would finally see and believe. As I read this, my mind went to Thomas, one of the disciples who declared that he would never believe that Jesus had been raised unless he saw him for himself. For the religious leaders to tell Jesus in this way didn't really shock me, but for one of his disciples to be so skeptical has always surprised me, since the other disciples said they'd seen him, and especially since Jesus told them plain and simple that he would die and be raised. But then I realized that I shouldn't be surprised because I did exactly the same thing. Though unlike Thomas, I believed that Jesus died and was raised. Like him, I struggled to believe when things don't go my way, when the world seems to be getting worse, when my prayers aren't being answered, when I can't see why things are the way they are. Jesus says that those who believe and cannot see are blessed, and that's how I want to be. But still, he treats Thomas gently amidst his doubts. He allows Thomas to touch his wounds. Jesus deals with us kindly in our doubts, but calls us to have faith even when we cannot see. Seek him in your doubts, and remember that he didn't come down from the cross to save himself. He willingly stayed put unto death, and then unto life everlasting. Let that amazing truth soak into your heart and strengthen your faith. So this is a song. I'm going to sing it for you. It's from He Will Hold Me Fast.
When I feel my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, Trust that God is with me. My God, why have you forsaken me? Quoting Psalm 22, these are the words that Jesus cried out as his death approached. I won't pretend to understand the depths of how Jesus felt or the fullness of what he meant when he uttered these words. But I believe that despite the way he felt, Jesus still knew and trusted that God had not ultimately deserted him. After all, he endured the cross for the joy set before him, so he must have known that his suffering, though great, was temporary. If Jesus, by enduring the pain and shame of the cross, can acknowledge his feelings all while trusting that God has not left him, then I should do the same. I can be assured that even in the most difficult times, when I do not feel like God is with me, he is still there. As Moses reminded the Israelites as his own death came near, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. What's more, we have something the Israelites didn't have, the resurrection. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and so we can be even more confident that God is eternally with us. God, help me to trust you that you are always with me. There may be times when you seem far off, but I can be confident that even in those times you are there. Give me the faith and the patience to wait on you as you fulfill your purposes for my life. Help me to remain confident that I will see your goodness in my life, and so to be strong, take heart, and wait for you. Amen. Do I know my worth? It seems almost daily that I'm confronted with something that shows me that I find my worth in the wrong places. Take this devotional, for example. I was having a tough time getting my thoughts down, so I talked to my husband. He listened, and after his words of comfort and encouragement fell on deaf ears, he paused and asked, "Are you worried about what people will think of you?" That got my attention because it was right. In short, if my worth isn't what you think of me because it is devotional, if you don't like my devotional, then I have no worth. But this is not what God desires for me, and why I must find my value in him. In this passage, we see that God chose women who were perceived as having minimal worth to society, so little that their testimony was considered unreliable, to bear witness to the most momentous event in all of history. God elevated the humble and gave them a task of immense importance to testify that they had seen Jesus die and be buried, but then found the tomb empty. God lets us know that these women have great worth. And so do we. Sisters, we are created in the image of God and loved so dearly by him that he sent his only son to die for us. Find your worth in him and him alone, and rejoice in the truth that this resurrection hope is for you. May we boldly bear witness to who God is and what he's done. Father, I confess that I find my worth in places I cannot fulfill me. Remind me daily that my worth is in you, and equip me to serve you in any way you call me to. Amen.